Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
On the last few episodes of Relationship Radio, we've been explaining a new system that we have developed to help people rescue their marriages and rescue themselves. We have developed many systems over the years, and we still stick with them. We haven't abandoned any of them. A four-point system called the Love Path, for example, that explains how people fall in love. But this new system we've put together here, these seven steps, if your marriage is in crisis, and you want to try to save that marriage, you've made a decision, you're going to do that, then we've led you through the first four steps in the previous two episodes. The first three steps having to do with getting stability. You're stabilizing. If you're looking to rescue the marriage, you've got to stabilize what's going on. And then that fourth step is, how do we start healing what needs to be healed inside of me and in terms of our relationship itself? And at the end of that, we talked about exploring reconciliation. And if you go through that process of exploring reconciliation and you decide that you will reconcile, then there are three more steps we want to explain to you about how you can create a dream life together. So Kimberly, this is Kimberly Holmes, our CEO. By the way, I'm Dr. Joe Beam. Welcome to Relationship Radio. What is the first of those last three steps? In other words, step number five in our seven-step system.
Right. Step five is coming right after reconciliation. And so there's trust that likely needs to be rebuilt. So the fifth step is to rebuild trust. This is huge because we don't want to get intimate or be committed or do some other things that we'll share in the later steps with people that we still don't trust or that we fear are going to hurt us or abandon us or manipulate us. So that it is key to focus on rebuilding trust and accountability.
And if you've heard us talk about trust, we have toolkits and other things about trust out there. Now remember that we talk about trust as being a predictive word. That if I trust you, I believe that the decisions you make and the actions you take will be for the benefit of our relationship or the benefit of me, and not just for the benefit of you when it might hurt our relationship or might hurt me. And so it's a predictive word. And if you've been through marriage crisis, it's very likely that at least one of you now distrusts the other, or it may be that both of you now distrust the other. You might be thinking, well, does that mean we both have done some things we shouldn't have done? And the answer to that is probably. So you see, let's say, for example, that a spouse has been unfaithful and you put the, and you decided now to put the marriage back together. You've decided to reconcile and you're thinking, okay, it's a pretty clear thing here that building back trust has to be that I need to be able to trust that my spouse is not going to be doing that kind of thing anymore. That's right. But what if in the process of, as you dealt with these things, particularly maybe in the early days, let's suppose that you told his or her parents, or you told the minister or pastor or whomever it might be, that it, in essence, we call it throwing under the bus, that you've basically thrown your spouse under the bus, then believe it or not, there's also a process then where that they have to learn to trust you again. You say, they just got what they deserved. I mean, he was the one cheating or she was the one cheating. I was just looking for a support group over here. Therefore, I didn't really do anything wrong. But if your spouse believes that his or her secrets are not safe with you, that you're going to be telling other people about anything they might do wrong, then remember that predictive word of trust. I believe that the decisions you make and the actions you take will be for the benefit of our relationship and the benefit of me, and not just for yourself, to the detriment of our relationship or detriment of me. So Kimberly, I don't think we talk a lot about that second part I'm talking about right now. Am I off with that, or am I right that sometimes the so-called innocent spouse also has to rebuild trust, get trust rebuilt from the other spouse?
Yeah, absolutely. Because even when it, I think an affair is an easy example because it's clear where trust, where the big trust was mm-hmm. broken. But when you think about the science of trust, any relationship that's going to go through reconciliation, there's going to be trust broken in some way on both sides. Even something as small as you didn't help me out when you said you were going to. You weren't there for me when you said you would be. You alluded to, or my expectation going into the marriage was you would act this way towards me, or, you know, touch me in this kind of way. There's so many layers and levels of trust, mm-hmm. some spoken and expected, some unspoken and still expected. And so each person is going to have those that's explicit or implicit that they've expected that in reconciliation should come forward in some way to fully help rebuild the trust. Mm-hmm. Because I want to trust, and just like you said, trust is all about, I trust that you're going to make the decision that's best for the relationship, not just for you, not mm-hmm. just for me, but for the relationship. So we need to put everything on the table so that it's clear what the expectations are of the relationship and we can agree on those terms.
Mm-hmm. And since you brought it up, it makes a lot of sense. There are different layers to it and there are different aspects. So for example, I may still distrust you when it comes to that you may cheat on me, but may trust you completely with the lives of our children. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you distrust in one area does not necessarily mean you distrust in every right. area. Or that I trust that you're trying to put the relationship back together, but until you have had some test, I don't trust having sex with you for fear that I may mm-hmm. wind up getting something I don't want to get, that kind of thing. We call the process of building trust back calculative trust. So let's try to look at it from both sides. Now, let's say that one of them has gambled away a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other one finds out, well, we got $50,000 in debt I didn't know we had, and therefore, how am I going to trust you? What are some of the things that could happen to calculatively, in other words, what can we calculate? What can we design? What can we develop that can get me to where I trust you with the money? So just kind of free form on that for a second.
Yeah. So working together to create an accountability system. So mm-hmm. of course, shared bank accounts, maybe limited spending on cards mm-hmm. in the person with the gambling problems name, right? So do the things that help put the brakes, like a governor on a car, that can help with just the behavior of it. But the other thing, there's the behavior aspect that you can limit by controls. But then there's also a heart change, so to say, that needs to happen in the person who has the behavior that they're struggling with. So then that person, you know, if they're struggling with gambling, going to get help with that type of thing, finding mm-hmm. something to help their internal need or drive for that behavior to decrease as well. So there's multiple parts that play into this.
Good. Very good. And so designing a plan in a situation like that might be, we're going to make a plan mm-hmm. where we know where all the money goes. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can't be gambling it off some secret way. But also in our plan, we need to get you some help with that addiction.
Yep.
Okay. And so calculative trust can be very complicated. Hopefully not too complicated, but layered. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. It's layered. And if it's going to work, then there have to be consequences, both good and bad. In other words, if you do this and we work this thing out, here are the good things that are going to happen. But if you violate that, there are going to be some negative consequences to it as well. Okay, now let's take that same situation, but now let's look at the other spouse who went and told all of her friends, my husband gambled my money away, or our money away.
Yeah.
And now all of her friends treat him differently and look down their nose at him, et cetera.
Yeah.
Now, how are we going to build back trust in that direction?
Yeah. Well, part of it's going to be asking the offended spouse in that party, so the gambler, what would it look like for me to rebuild trust in that area? It's probably going to be, to some extent, going back and apologize.
It's possible.
Apologizing for sharing that, but maybe more than apologizing, saying, this is where we stand. We're rebuilding our marriage. That is something that is forgiven and moved on from. And I ask that you don't hold that against my spouse or share it with anyone else. Right. So there could be an aspect of that to it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
What else?
It could also be that because of the fact that I shared a lot of information through my texts, then maybe you can, for the next 60 days, 120 days, whatever, you can look at any text I send so you can know I'm not throwing you under the bus by the text that I sent.
Yeah, because that's the bottom line. I mean, it's the bottom line of what is it about the action that broke the trust. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, it's likely I don't trust for you to keep our secrets private or the things that are supposed to be just for us private. So mm-hmm. then that's what you're dealing with. When you can get to the core of what you're dealing with, mm-hmm. that the distrust or mistrust came from, then that's what you tackle.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people have said, well, I've seen this in couples I've worked with. In a situation like we're describing, it might be that the husband would say, well, if you're going to know where every penny goes, then that means you don't trust me. And my response would be, that's correct. She doesn't. But she wants to.
Yeah.
And that's why the calculative trust process is being built. So she can trust you again. So yeah. You're right. The calculative trust proves that at this point she doesn't trust you.
Yeah.
But she's trying her best to trust you and the same the other direction back.
Right.
And like many things, it won't be done perfectly. Mm-hmm. There are going to be times when you're going to have to figure out how to modify it, those kinds of things. And sometimes you need some wise people to help you design the calculative trust because there are occasions when a person will design the calculative trust in such a way as to actually not try to rebuild trust, but to try to actually control
right.
the other person. And when you try to control the other person, that always winds up badly.
Right. The other reason this is important is because typically when people don't have marriage helper and they try to reconcile, it typically goes something like, okay, you had that affair or you gambled that money away, but if you do it again, that's it, you're out. Like that's what's put in for rebuilding trust. Don't do it again. So you're not really fleshing out mm-mm. the issues and the core needs and developing a plan and actively, proactively rebuilding the trust aspect of it.
Exactly.
So instead, you're just watching for the other person to fail instead of actively working for both of you to trust each other again. So that's the key of why this is so important and needs to happen.
Yeah. And in our membership, there's a toolkit.
Yeah.
That people can actually use that'll guide them through exactly how to design and develop that. Right. Not by telling you what to do, but by asking you the questions
right.
that will lead you to design that.
Right.
Because you want to have trust. Mm-hmm. And during the calculative trust period, mm-hmm. it may be that things are required that you couldn't live with for the rest of your life. Like, I can't feel that you've got to be looking at every text message I ever send until I die, mm-hmm. because then I don't feel trusted. And so this calculative trust process lasts long enough, however long that needs to be, to redevelop the trust. But then some of those things will be relaxed mm-hmm. because trust does exist again.
Right.
And if you offer to do those things, it doesn't feel burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after I left Alice all those years ago, divorced her, and 3 years later we remarried, then Alice had a lot of things that she needed me to do so she could rebuild trust. Mm-hmm. And I happily did them because I wanted her to trust me again. But now we don't even think about it and haven't for years and years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So rebuilding trust is crucial because if you don't, you're never going to be able to do this next step.
No. Which is to reignite intimacy and passion.
Or in some cases, maybe to originally ignite
yeah.
intimacy
ignite
and passion.
For the first time.
Based on what your marriage has been through.
So in this step, and again, we said it, but just to clarify, the reason that trust comes before it is because it's difficult to want to become intimate or passionate with someone you don't trust. So now that we trust them, we really have this freedom to focus on how do we become best friends again, which is what intimacy is, which, by the way, will also continue to help trust to build. Mm-hmm. And then how do we find our passion again? How do we feel like we love each other again? How do mm-hmm. we do all of that? It's interesting that this is coming at step six, but we've done a lot of work to get here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's what we're talking about on our next episode of Relationship Radio.